My prayer this week kind of came to me in the middle of the night. I have sometimes problems sleeping. So the other night I woke up at 2:30 in the morning. And you know, in those quiet times in the night when nothing is going on except your brain is going, everything seems so much more accentuated. Whatever your pains are, they seem so much more painful. Whatever problems you have in your brain, it just doesn't shut off. And the silence just makes it worse. And sometimes after Christmas, when we have days and days and days of gray, it's very similar to that silence after all the hustle and bustle. It creates a feeling of isolation and solitude, which is sometimes very difficult. Those are the times where we need to lean into God's light, right? So let us pray. Gracious God, we praise you for your everlasting presence in our lives. Help us to reconnect to you in those moments where we feel so alone. We are struggling, Lord. As we battle our health, struggles, our addictions, our financial shortcomings, our marital problems, our family challenges, our loss, and our grief, we seek your strength and guidance. Where we are depressed, please lift us up. Where we are stuck, we ask for your Holy Spirit to help move us. In those hard, dark times of grief and despair and isolation, help us lean into you, to trust you. It is you, God, who keeps our heads above water and our feet on solid ground. You are our life preserver. It is in coming to you that gives us strength to face what ails us, for you are faithful. Forgive us when we do not see you working in our lives, when we do not see you in the eyes of those you send, because you send them in your name, doing your work, lifting us when we are down. For we know your love for us is steadfast. We know because you sent us Jesus. As we lift our silent prayers, let us remember the love Jesus shared and his promise that he is always with us to the end of the age. Let's join together now in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's Bible reading comes from Lamentations chapter 3. The memory of my suffering and homelessness is bitterness and poison. I can't help but remember and am depressed. I call all this to mind, therefore I will wait. Certainly the faithful love of the Lord hasn't ended. Certainly God's compassion isn't through. They are renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I think the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I'll wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the person who seeks him. It is good to wait in silence for the Lord's deliverance. May the Lord add his blessing on the reading and understanding of this word, which is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are some things we talk about and some things you don't. There are some times when you can talk, and there are other times when you can't. When I was young, my family had some rules around silence. Now, I'm not talking about just being quiet and not kicking up when people wanted it to be quiet. I'm talking about silence when there were things that I was curious about. It wasn't that my family sat us down and said, here are the rules, and the rule is that these are the topics that you will not mention and you will not discuss. But somehow, I and my brothers and my sister understood those rules. So, for example, I could talk about my mom being pregnant and having a baby, but I could not talk about my baby cousin who had died. I could repeat the exploits from World War II of my great uncle, but I could not talk about my other great uncle's suicide. I could talk about the hospitalization of my mom to have her appendix out, but I could not talk about the repeated hospitalizations of my father for schizophrenia. I thought as a young child that we were the only family that had this rule, that if there were things going on that puzzled me or alarmed me, whether it was arrests or addictions or adult arguments whispered that I did not understand, that there could be no discussion or no questions. And I ended up being this young child who just tried to figure it all out from what I heard and what I saw, what was going on. But as I grew older, I began to understand that the kind of silence that I learned as a child is not unique. The topics may vary: mental illness or physical illness, criminal activity, financial struggles. But most families have some rules of silence. Do you understand? Yeah, what those are. Now, for some, the silence is a respect for privacy. You say, we're not going to talk about that because that's your uncle's business. That's not our business. We don't ask questions, and we respect his privacy. Some of it is stoicism, either a part of the character of our family or our own character, to say there's nothing you can do about it. It just is what it is, and so just suck it up. We don't need to talk about it and rehearse these struggles. For some, the things that the family chooses not to speak about have either real or perceived social stigmas. So we're not going to talk about this because the world will think differently of us if they know this has happened in our family. And so you do not mention it. And sometimes the silence, and maybe some of you have lived this, the silence is not broken for fear that if the forbidden topics are mentioned, a terrible storm will break loose. And so you just don't say anything. Now, every family has in their history or even in their present difficult topics. And there are some where families may say, we're going to talk about this now and we won't talk about it later. Or there are just certain ways that they talk about it. But the problem becomes a problem, the silence becomes a problem, when the silence is connected with shame. We can't talk about what happened because it's embarrassing. We can't bring up the name of that person who was part of our family because of what happened to that person. So for the next 4 Sundays, crazy as it sounds, especially with my background, I'm going to dare to defy the silence. I'm not going to ask anyone here to list the silent practices in their own home or to talk about any practices that they've had in terms of silence. But I am going to talk about some issues that are traditionally places of silence. So for the next four Sundays, we're going to talk about mental illness. We're going to talk about addiction. Next week, we'll talk about mental illness. We'll talk about addiction the next week. And addiction, there are things that are patterns the same in addictive behavior, but I'm specifically going to talk about gambling, but I think that the addiction patterns are, there's a tie-in for different addictions. We're going to talk about domestic violence, and we're going to talk about depression and suicide. Now, I'm not going to bring these topics so that I can tell you why or the what to do next, or to tell you that if you just come and listen to me talk for 20 minutes, there will be happy endings, right? I'm not going to do that at all. But my plan is, my hope is, that we might find a way to talk about this in the midst of our practices of silence. And we're going to do that through some examples of biblical writers, because there are many examples of where those who wrote the Bible verses refused to be silent. In their heartbreak and in their sorrow and in their suffering, they offered prayer. They sang out in song and in poetry. And they offered these gifts, these words to God in the midst of silence. If you know of someone who might benefit from hearing that God cares for them and will listen in the midst of difficult things, which we do not talk, you can invite them along in the next few weeks. We might actually have a sanctuary for them. Or if you're saying, well, I got someone who might listen to 20 minutes, but there's no way they're coming in here, keep in mind that on our website, you'll find recordings. So even this message today is recorded. So we have recordings on the website that you can find there and send a link to someone if you want them to listen. There's a guy named Miguel de Unamo, and he said this: sometimes silence is the worst kind of lie. And I really believe that a silence that keeps us from understanding, from working toward resolution, can be very painful. And so I want to talk about what the Bible gives us. And I'm going to just do that in general today, and then we'll hear more specifically in the weeks to come. I want to talk about the gift of a type of literature that's in the Bible. Now, when you read the Bible, you think some good stories, right? And some laws. And we might think of the Gospels, the persuasive documents that Jesus Christ is Lord. But there's also this type of literature called lament. And I just think it's incredibly valuable. Laments, you know, are kind of a cry in need, a cry for help, or just a description of suffering. Laments are about real life, and laments are compelling. Now, we all have experienced lament, even if we might not know it. No matter what decade of pop songs you claim are the best, and I know, for example, it's the 1970s, whatever decade you claim, you know the words to laments. Think about those love songs that are about love lost and suffering. I'm thinking back to Heartbreak Hotel, right? It's a lament. Or I'm thinking of Adele's I'll Never Find Someone Like You. It's another lament. And so we know laments from popular songs that we're part of. We know laments when we get together with our friends and they want to complain about how things have changed or what's wrong. So those laments are there. We lament, perhaps, technical progress. We lament the seasons and mention that we've got some months of gray ahead of us. It's a lament we might send up. Years ago, I injured my back. The nerves were hurt, and I couldn't lift off the back of my leg. My heel wouldn't lift off, so I walked like Quasimodo because I couldn't, you know, so I just dragged my leg. And it was really bad, and I was in pain. And so the doctor referred me to a surgeon, and the surgeon had an appointment for me in 2 months. So I called the surgeon, and I lamented. I'm talking crying. I'm talking snot. I'm talking just full out, you know, shouting on the phone. And I got an appointment that week. I think I scared someone. Sometimes lamenting is pretty powerful, and it can even scare us with the pain and the sorrow that's there. But we do know what laments are, and the Bible actually is full of them. The book of Psalms has many laments in it. Some are individual, talking about individual suffering, and some are communal, speaking for an entire nation, an entire people who are suffering. Job offers a giant lament of all the terrible things that have happened to him and talks about his suffering of loss and sickness. The prophets lament, especially when people don't listen to them. They see the destruction that's coming toward the nation and they lament that no one is listening and what will happen to people. Even Jesus lamented. He stood at the grave of Lazarus and wept. It was a lament for someone who was perceived at that moment to be lost in death. As he came into Jerusalem in that last week of his life, he looked out over Jerusalem and he lamented. It says here in Matthew 23, he said this, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not listen." There's this lament for the loss of Jerusalem. And even from the cross, he used the first word of a personal lament in Psalm 22. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He offered this cry in lament. Now, you heard from Bruce this morning from the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, great name, is basically five poems, five songs, or five laments. It's set just after 586 or 587 BC, and is traditionally understood to be written by Jeremiah, the prophet, who was called actually the weeping prophet. He did a lot of lamenting, you know, a lot of lamenting for Judah and its fall. Scholars today aren't really sure if it was Jeremiah. There's some that argue against it. But I tell you what, just so for ease of me talking about the laments, I'm going to say Jeremiah. It's just easier to do that. So Jeremiah offers these laments, and we're going to look at chapter 3. Now, Bruce started at verse 19. If you look at the verses before that, you see some tremendous darkness. The prophet says that there's so much darkness, there is no more light. And he talks about being wasted away and walled in by God and chains on him put there by God. He says God is like a bear or a lion waiting to attack him, or like an archer with the bow pulled back and the arrow set to fly. He says, "I cower in the ashes and there is no happiness. He is bent and he is suffering." It says in verse 19, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I can't help but remember, and I am depressed." It is a difficult time for him. And this is the beginning of a lament. Because laments begin with a call out to God, to this actual understanding God exists and God will hear. And this call goes out. And then the next thing is a description of what's wrong. And so if you look at laments in any shape or form in the Bible, and often as we lament, there's a call of pain and there is a description of what's wrong. But what's surprising is what comes next, is that after that, there is this sudden shift. And this is what Jeremiah says, "I call all this to mind, therefore I will wait. Certainly the faithful love of the Lord hasn't ended. Certainly God's compassion isn't through. They are renewed every morning. Great is God's faithfulness." God's compassion is renewed every morning. Because the second part of a lament is this understanding that we can ask for help because God will hear. And then finally, there is a section of praise and celebration for God's nearness, that God will find hope. Some people who assume that when we suffer in silence. And it might be because of what the pain is in our lives and those rules of silence in our families. And we don't say anything at all. But what the psalmist and what this lamenter teach us is that there is one who will hear and will be faithful and allows us to sing, to shout out, to cry out, even in the silence. I have to tell you that as an adult, I have chosen to reject the culture of silence. I'll tell you that that doesn't make me always popular in my family, because I'm going to talk about what I see and what I know. I think that silence multiplies the pain. I think that people suffer if they feel they have no voice and no safe place to speak. I believe that it is a painful thing to think that no one will hear. And so a mother who has an addicted son remains silent. A father who gambles and knows that the family is in financial trouble remains silent. A family who has a family member who has bipolar disorder and trouble mounting remains silent. The family does not mention the name of a beloved member because she killed herself. And the violent argument that everyone heard last night never, ever is spoken of in the light of day. I think it's okay to know that in the silence there is a place to cry out. Now, I'm not suggesting that if we begin to cry out in the name of God, that somehow tomorrow everything will be better and all of the pain of a few decades ago will somehow disappear, or even the struggles of this present day. But we will find a great peace in lament. I think that lament is truly a gift of God because it gives us permission to speak. God can take it. God can take all of the garbage. God can take accusations and yelling, and God can take sloppiness and tears and snot. Trust me, I know. God can. It's a gift. I believe that the cry of lament is an act of faith because it says, I trust that you're there and you hear me. I believe that the act of lament is reaching for hope. It's an intentional way that we might seek hope in our lives. And I truly believe that lament is a way to know the reality of God. To go through a lament, to talk about all that is broken and bad and the suffering, whether it's of us individual or a communal, we look at society and the nation or the church or whatever it is, and we offer that lament, that the reality of God is with us. And so I want to offer a challenge to begin this series, and we'll continue to think on this, and I'll offer more, but I'd like to just invite the challenge that you might lament this week. Isn't that kind of crazy? So I invite you to lament. Now, again, I'm not saying this is some kind of spiritual incantation. This is something that's freeing, and I think it's a practice that's good, especially if you come like me from a family where there's a lot of silence rules. And so there are a number of ways that you can do this. I could give you a bunch of laments to read, but I'm going to just let the internet do that for you. So if you're curious about some of the laments that are in the Bible, go and just look up Psalms and ask for laments. You're going to find communal laments and individual laments. So cries out of pain for an individual or for an entire community. So that might give you some models. There are other models out there. If you just kind of search lament, you'll probably find some poetry. I'm thinking of Anne Weems, a powerful Christian author. Her son died at 10, 11, 12 years old. She wrote an entire collection of laments in grief. So those kinds of laments are available too. The other is just don't worry about it being real pretty. Just acknowledge you're talking to God. Cry out, give it all. Talk about what your needs are and then offer trust and hope and praise to the one who hears. You can write things down or you might just say them out loud. You could be walking outside. You could be inside. But at some point, offer a lament. And I really truly think that in doing this, we go up against the silence. We offer songs in the silence, and we will be set free. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, you know what we lament. if not in our personal lives, there are things in society, in our church, in our nation, in our world that we lament. And we are so grateful that you hear us in all of the brokenness and all of the need. And so in this coming week, Lord, give us voice to sing into the silence, whether that is for regrets and resentments and pain that are decades old, whether it is a struggle that is fresh and new, or whether it is for this world or a group of people, Lord, allow our lament and our pain to be heard. Help us, Lord, to send songs to you in the silence. In Jesus' name, amen.